Happy Sabbath, and brethren. Happy to be here with all of you. So grateful to be here today on this appointed day. As we heard in some of the hymns, so beautiful to come together to praise God, to worship Him. Feels so good to be here. I think I heard someone say it as I was reading earlier. So good to be here after a long week, coming together with all of you on this beautiful Sabbath. It always feels so good when the sunset sets on Friday afternoon and we finally enter into the Sabbath. Come to think of it, it's as if a switch turns on and all of the week's worries just fall away. It's kind of the same feeling you get when vacation begins. I'm sure Ariana and Josh are thinking deeply about vacation. When it finally arrives and life seems to take more of a greater perspective, more enjoyment. Even the most mundane tasks like packing bags and preparing for that long journey seems to be more fun. Suddenly life is not as so bad. The sun becomes brighter, the food tastes better, and we begin to find a place in time that brings us a deeper joy. As I always say, even if it's raining and pouring outside, it's always sunny in here on the Sabbath day. But this happens all the time, brethren, to us. Consider graduating from school or college. It requires years of studying, exams, writing papers. But then graduation day finally arrives and we feel so much joy and accomplishment. Or getting married requires so much preparation. But then that day finally arrives and it brings great joy and happiness again. These moments we feel this change in time. Or we start a family, which requires planning, preparing a home, and then maybe having children. And when those children finally arrive, it brings an overwhelming joy, a love, and a sense of purpose that makes all the struggle that we've done just melt away. Brethren, all these events are governed by time, but somehow there seems to be a shift in the perspective. A surreal moment in time that makes all of these struggles just seem to be worth it. Time is something we're all familiar with. It governs our schedules. We use it to organize our days, and it dictates the rhythm of our earthly lives. We measure it in hours and days and months and years. But what if I told you that there is more than one type of time? As always, the ancient Greeks understood this, and they communicated it in their words. They didn't just lump everything together under one label as we do today. They made careful distinctions, especially when it comes to great big ideas like love. Recently, we studied the word love, and we should also be familiar that there's subtle differences in the words. And so the Greeks had several words that they used to express love. They used eros for romantic and passionate love, philia for love that comes from friendship, and agape love for selfless and sacrificial love. They did the same with this big idea, this concept of time. They described the kind of tedious, stressful time that we just spoke about and that we are most accustomed to, that is always moving forward chronologically with a word they call chronos, which is Strong's word G5550 for the Bible geeks in here. But for those moments that have a deeper meaning, appointed times or occasions when something shifts, when time feels just right, they use the word called kairos, which is Strong's word, G2540. Kairos is used for special moments in time. Brethren, we live most of our days in chronos, under the grind of schedules and meetings and deadlines and to-do lists. Chronos times keeps score. It demands productivity, and it never slows down. But brethren, consider this. Every day we find ourselves in moments when chronos slips into kairos. Moments like when we come home after a hard day's work, and we finally have a chance to embrace our loved ones. And time seems to stand still, and we're reminded of why we go to work. Moments when we are on vacation, when we find ourselves taking in God's creation, and our souls are finally quieted, our senses are heightened, and we are reminded of the significance of our existence. Moments when the work week gives way to the appointed Sabbath rest, reminding us of our Creator and His plan for mankind. These can be moments of clarity, moments of opportunities, moments of celebration, and moments of appointed times when we are called to act. And so, brethren, why is this important for us to know? Because it is when we become attuned to Kairos that time takes on a deeper, more sacred meaning. And we become aware of a greater spiritual reality, a reality that constantly breaks the bonds of our ordinary lives and can quickly pass us by if we're not attuned to the subtle differences between the two. The title to this message is Chronos versus Kairos, Living in God's Appointed Time. Our lives move between these two times, these two types of times, and they shift. The shift isn't always dramatic. Sometimes it's just a breath or a meal or a moment when we feel a higher presence. It is in these transitions from Chronos to Kairos and back again that we remember we weren't created to simply count time, but rather to live it fully and meditate on its purpose and why we're here. The scriptures are filled with examples of these two types of time. And it is important for us to understand the deeper meaning of these words. And so today I would like us to explore just one example in Romans 13 and verse 11. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. This will be the scriptures that we use for this message today. Here Paul looks at these or provides these scriptures through the lens of the word Kairos, which is used to describe the moment in time. And by understanding this Kairos, we should be awakened to the spiritual urgency of our time and live fully in the light of God's appointed seasons. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Here Paul says, "And do this, knowing the time," and it is Kairos here that he's calling out, "that now is high time," or Kairos, "to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The Apostle Paul here begins in Romans 13:11 with an urgent call when he says, "And do this, knowing the time." He's not merely speaking of chronological time, or chronos, as the passage of minutes and hours. He's not looking at it from that perspective. He is calling the believers to recognize a deeper, a divine moment, a critical turning point in God's redemptive plan for mankind. To fully grasp the force of Paul's exhortation here, it's important to understand the distinction of these two words. In Romans 13, Paul is not warning believers that it is getting late by the clock's time, but rather that Kairos has come. A moment of decisive action in the plan of God is upon us, and it is time for us to wake up. And so as a result of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we have entered into this amazing event in history. That is, we have entered into Kairos. And the first command Paul makes here in Romans 13, verse 11, is to wake up. He tells us that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. He uses the metaphor of sleep to describe the spiritual complacency and distraction or indifference that sometimes we fall into when we're in this Chronos time. He wants us to understand that significance of the event. Sleep can be harmless, or sleep is harmless during the night, but deadly during the day when the day arrives, potentially deadly when the day arrives. He tells us to awake, for the Kairos moment has come, and it demands awareness. This Kairos isn't just any season. It is a season of Christ's imminent return and the unfolding of God's plan. Paul continues when he says, "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." In other words, the fulfillment of our salvation, the return of Christ, and the renewal of all things is closer now than ever before. In Ephesians 5:14, you could write this down. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. He echoes the same urgency when he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," which once again he uses the word Kairos, "because the days are evil." Here Paul connects sleeping with death and awakening with wisdom and urgency. To live in Kairos time is to live alert, discerning what God is doing and aligning ourselves accordingly. We are called to redeem the time, to grasp every divine opportunity, not letting that moment slip by in a spiritual slumber. He is commanding us to become spiritually awake, to discern what God is doing in our life, what he's doing in the church, and what he's doing in this moment of Kairos. It is a warning against becoming numb, becoming lost in the overwhelming pressure of Chronos time, following routines and deadlines and the daily grind, missing the urgency and the call of Kairos and of God's appointed time. In verse 12, Paul continues by saying, "Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Paul follows the call to awaken with the command to cast off the works of darkness. This is a deliberate, active decision we are called to make. In this Kairos moment, we must recognize the demand for personal transformation. We cannot live in God's appointed moment and continue to cling to the shadows of sin. Is it any wonder that Christ's good news message began with "Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of God is at hand"? Christ understood this Kairos moment. We're all called to act. This is more than just behavior modification. It's about identity change, changing who we are. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Once again, Paul connects the dots in these different messages. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Paul says here that we must put off our former conduct, that we must put off the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And we must put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Brother, notice the pattern here. We're called to take off the old and to put on the new. It's not just about rejecting bad behavior. It's about stepping into a completely new identity. One is not possible without the other. We cannot layer light over darkness. We must remove what's corrupt to make room for what is holy. The armor of light isn't just protection. It's transformation. It represents the character, the mindset, and the mission of someone who now walks in step with God's timing and truth. We are all in this Kairos moment. We are living in God's appointed time. And this should bring us a sense of joy and urgency to renounce what no longer is befitting a child of the day. But brethren, Paul continues this point in verse 14 when he says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." This final command is the heart of Paul's message. We are called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more than just imitating Jesus. It's about being clothed with his very presence. We are called to recognize this moment we are living in. We are living in this Kairos time and have been invited to the wedding of the Lamb. And guess what, brethren? This is an appointed time that requires a special dress code. We are called to put on Christ. Paul uses this metaphor often in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. He writes, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Or in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, where he says, "You have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed after the image of its creator." To live in Kairos time is to recognize the time is at hand and to live clothed in Christ, to let his life define ours, his love govern our actions, his spirit direct our steps. And so then, Brendan, let's return to the very beginning of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 and consider what Paul says when he began these few verses. He said, "Know the time." Paul assumes that his readers understand this vital point, That history is not just a random sequence of events, but a divine narrative. God is not bound by Chronos. He moves in Kairos. He orchestrates the seasons of change, the opportunities of transformation, and the moments of transition in his plan for mankind. Brethren, we are living in such a time. The world is currently shaking. The church is being refined. God's Spirit is awakening hearts. This is not Chronos time. This is not Chronos time to passively watch the clock and check boxes. This is Kairos time, an appointed time of action to awaken, to walk in the light. Let me close with this, a powerful reminder of this, and write this one down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Here again, Paul connects the dots and he says, "Behold, now is the favorable time." Again, Kairos. "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Brethren, it is now Kairos time. And like those who have come before us and have recognized the significance of God's Kairos in human history, he is calling each of us to awaken, to cast off the old man, and to prepare ourselves for the wedding by clothing ourselves in Christ. Let us therefore be a people who discern the difference, the Kairos, and recognize that we are living in God's appointed time.